at the bottom of that darkness, it's just God. It's just love. That's all that's actually there. It's not darkness at all. It's just distorted energy asking to be loved. It's time for us to start sitting with that darkness. It is ready to be loved.
Our work is the exact inversion of what we've all been told we need to do, which is find happiness. No, it's actually to illuminate all the things that are causing the belief of suffering and then return to bliss.
The mind projects that that is the solution, is to look out and fix some perceived problem rather than looking within. The only way to fix anything in this world is by fixing you first. Start with God. Start with the divine, because getting in right relationship there is the most important thing.
The truth is, until we have met the depths of the darkness within ourselves, we do not stand a chance of making a difference in the external world, because we will play out the patterns in ourselves that we have not healed.
When you have done that work and you've cleared the channels and you are in right relationship and alignment with the divine and your highest self, then you will fix those problems, because you are coming at them with the full power of the light behind you, and you can meet them at their most polarized, darkest point with love.
Until you find peace within yourself, it will not be a peaceful world. We cannot solve problems outside of us. We need to do the inner work.
So I am calling you forward alongside of us with the utmost love to start priming your nervous system and meeting this darkness, transmuting it. Let it pass through you. Don't judge it, don't resist it, and don't attach to it. Let it move, give it to the earth, give it to God. That's all you have to do.
Bringing conscious awareness to whatever is affecting you in your life, and then loving it with the love of God, which is unconditional love and grace. Feel the emotions to their fullest extent and love it. Find the gratitude. Find the grace. Forgive yourself. Forgive whatever needs to be forgiven in that moment, and move forward.
The light is far more powerful than the darkness. It is polarizing. It is illuminating. God's love and God's light can cut through more than you could ever imagine. Loving consciously is illuminating the darkness with love. And we do that through the divine, through God, through being in right relationship with our bodies. So thank you for being a light warrior. Thank you for being a love warrior.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast.
My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love. We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our journey while exploring the sacred realms of love, consciousness, relationships, spirituality, and all that they encompass.
The intention of this show is to help you consciously relate to yourself, others, and everything else in this universe. Together, we can embody a more intentional and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Through 8 years together, we have had the opportunity to overcome deep patterning and programming, as well as trauma related to mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and immense grief. After 6 years of experiencing these challenges with no knowledge on how to heal or love each other, we separated.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we formed our conscious partnership and have spent the last 2 years cultivating a divine union founded on unconditional love, devotion, and commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us and doing the work alongside us as we explore this beautiful world of love and consciousness to co-create a new world of love.
As you courageously walk this path, remember to have grace with yourself and know that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love. Namaste, and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast.
It is so good to be back with you all, and We've been sitting here for quite some time talking about how on earth we come back from so much time away and authentically and vulnerably share what we've been going through from a supportive perspective. As always, we are going to do the best that we can, do it with the intention of love, and really just invite you to drop into this container with us, because it's going to be deep, it's going to be vulnerable, and we are talking about the darkness today. The title of today's episode is Illuminate the Darkness with God's Love. We are going to be sharing our experiences with the darkness these past few weeks, and most importantly, how we illuminated it all alongside God with love. It has been 4 weeks since we've done a solo episode. That is 4 weeks of our life that we have done no personal updates at all. We had a guest 4 weeks ago, our first mashup with another show, and then we have been away for 3 weeks. That is obviously not something that we love to do or intended to do, and it was what was necessary and supportive for one of the wildest 3 weeks we've had of this year. So when we talked to y'all last, we were in Georgia dealing with some very major car repairs, and that's kind of when this phase of darkness started. We then went on to Florida. We spent 2 weeks there. We got to see, I think, like 7 different friends, so much community, a really epic amount of amazing crystals, and a lot of really beautiful experiences. And then we had a week traveling home and a week grounding, because we are coming to you from our new home. More on that in a minute. Yeah, we completed it, y'all. We did it. If you have been following along at all, or if you are new here, 13 months ago, we left our life in Portland, Oregon, after selling everything we owned and our home, and we hit the road. And in those 13 months, we saw all 48 states, 3 Canada provinces, 46 out of 50 national parks. And we did it. We finished it last week. We have arrived home. It was this last Thursday, December 5th. Stick around, because at the end of this episode, we have a couple of really major announcements. One of them is where we have decided to settle. Where is home now? Where are we recording from today? So yeah, it's been a really, really full, busy 4 weeks since we did a last solo episode.
The last 4 weeks have been some of the most transformative time that we've experienced on this journey. You know, with our travels coming to a head and kind of experiencing the grief of the journey ending and the excitement to be able to ground in and unpack it, there were lots of catalysts that were kind of brought up to the surface as we reached the finish line of lessons that still wanted to be learned or that hadn't fully been embodied yet. And so we experienced this really great dualistic journey where we had some incredibly high experiences that filled our cups with aligned community and divine interactions, and some really, really challenging darkness that was asking to be loved. Before we head into the core content of the episode today, we're going to define what darkness means in the context of this conversation and what light means, so that we can all be aligned in what we're talking about and how we're approaching this topic.
I love the "in the context of this conversation." We're not saying this is universal truth for everyone in every conversation, just this one. That's why it's so important to make sure when you're having a conversation with someone that you're talking about the same thing. I have learned that the hard way. So in this conversation, the darkness, this is like this big thing, and I really want to add some encouragement and context here that looking at these things is, quite frankly, not optional. It is what we are called to do on this planet in this great awakening as carriers of the love, carriers of the light. And it is what I am coming to realize, you know, there is no escaping this work. And so we can look at it now, and we can look at it in this safe container of love, or we can shut it off for a later time with some interest. Invitation to just sit with us today in this again, because we are here having come out of some of our darkest darkness to offer support and love and a more graceful way through it. So the darkness is anything that isn't love. Yeah, that. Anything that isn't love. And in this context, we're going to be talking about things like limiting beliefs, core wounds, patterns, trauma, truths, right? There can be some dark truths, like child trafficking, for example. And the kind of negative emotions, fear, anger, sadness, and a reminder that the darkness is not bad. The darkness is. It is just the opposite of the light. It is just that contrast polarity. Just like black is not a bad color just because it's dark. And, you know, white is not a good color because it's white and it's light. They're just colors, right? And we use the concept of light and darkness to help understand them. And so just holding in our awareness today that these things are not inherently bad. They have a purpose. They're here to teach us things. They're very, very valuable. I would almost argue in some ways more valuable.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I'm so glad that you brought it to the conversation, because a lot of times when we talk about the darkness and the light, or doing shadow work and uncovering some of these limiting beliefs and whatnot, there's a negative connotation to what the darkness is. Almost like going in and digging into this deep black goop that we don't want to experience and we've shoved away. And at least for me, in my experience, that comes from having rejected these parts of myself, rejected these truths in the world, and not integrated them into my being. Because when we integrate something and accept it and love it, we alchemize that limiting belief in itself that the dark has to be bad. It can be something that is helpful, that teaches us, like you said, Amaris, something that is actually carries more value in our actual growth and evolution than just experiencing the light.
Absolutely. I just want to ask something. Like, I was hearing this in my head as you were talking. Like, you were talking about this black goop, and we don't want to go in there, and we don't want to get dirty with black goop, right? And I was thinking about kind of a zoomed out perspective of this. And, you know, I literally heard in my head, aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of living in the in-between? Because here's the thing about avoiding our darkness, y'all. It's still there. And because you're not doing that work to clear space to make more room for light and love and a higher frequency, you're limited in the light you can experience. And we can fool ourselves. And here's the thing. Humanity has been fooling ourselves for generations and generations, hundreds if not thousands, if not more of years, who knows how long, that, oh, if we just don't look at that stuff, we don't talk about it, we don't go into that black goop, we can pretend that we're living over here on the other side. That isn't possible anymore. On one hand, we don't have a choice anymore. These things are so desperate and so dark and so bad and so painful, humanity can no longer ignore them. That is in part in the rise to technology and social media, because it's in our face all the time. You can't really be ignorant to what's going on in the world anymore. It's flooded everywhere. You're constantly exposed. And so on one hand, we need to do this because it's in our faces. And on the other hand, I think there's this growing awareness of, oh, wait a minute. I want to experience more love. I want to experience more light. I don't want to live for the weekends. I don't want to keep living a life that I was told to live. I actually don't want to be this thing or go to this place that my parents wanted. I actually want to experience life and be happy, right? That desire to live is finally becoming stronger than the desire to not feel the darkness. Remember that yes, while sticking the shovel into the black sludge, you're going to get dirty and it's going to stink and it's going to be messy and it's going to be really hard. When that's cleaned out, you finally actually get to sit in a full room of light and look 360 around at the beauty, rather than only looking at a half of the room and sticking your back to that and kind of pretending that you don't feel that nastiness behind you.
That's a really good analogy, because like I was saying, with alchemizing the goop into light, what you're really doing is essentially having that room, like you said, and rather than having your back to the shadows, you're sitting in the corner and you get to observe the whole room and accept and love the entire room, right? And that includes all the shadows that are cast by objects in the room. If we just say we're never going to look at any shadows, what we're saying is the world itself isn't perfect and we need to be in control of it so that we can only experience the light. And man, does that sound like an anxious existence? Feeling like we always have to control our external experience to only get the experiences that we deem are good for us. When we learn to love everything as it is, shadows included, then we can actually be at peace and be in a grounded state where we can actually make a difference in this world and enjoy this life, which is what we're meant to do. The thing about light and why we're going to define it again in the context of this conversation is that we experience this amnesia where we think we know what light and happiness is. And it isn't until we actually start uncovering the darkness that we realize that the capacity that this world has for light. We're living at 10% and we think that that's the peak, and there's just so much more.
I would argue we're living at 1% or less, but you know, this one's for the conscious folks listening, the spiritual folks listening, the woo-woo folks listening, the people who think they're on some type of personal development path in any form, whatever that means for you. It can be really easy to think, oh, I've been on a path for 5 years, or I've done this, or I've been doing, you know, work on myself. Here's the thing. Same. I had told myself, oh, you know, my spiritual ego, right? I've been doing conscious, full-time, daily work for 3 years now. I've been on my journey for 4 years. Like, I've done this, and I've sat with ayahuasca, and I've purged this thing, and I've done this experience and this ancestral healing. And here's the thing. I too thought that I had faced my darkness. And I'm here to tell you, if you are not living a life of perfect abundance and alignment, I mean, true heaven on earth, you haven't faced all your darkness. And it can be really easy. It was really easy for me to think that, like, oh, I'd face the darkness. The experience that we've had over the last week is on a whole other level. Of facing societal darkness, of facing the core, most darkest truth of why this planet is the way that it is and what's really going on, taking that into your own experience and facing that. And so, invitation, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I've definitely faced down my darkness, it never ends. There's always a deeper and deeper way to meet that for more awareness and cultivate more light. And so no matter where you are in your journey, this is going to be incredibly valuable. Because if you are thinking, oh, I faced my darkness, or I'm past that phase, I would invite inquiry there. Because I was definitely there, and I got a nice slice of humble pie this past weekend. So moving into the light. Illuminate. I love this word. And looking it up, I found a lot of really cool definitions. To make bright or visible with light. Sit with that for a second. To make visible. So we are illuminating the darkness. We are making it visible with God's love. Another definition was to enlighten with knowledge. So this feels like the very kind of like masculine bringing logic to the darkness, right? Because maybe, just maybe, we get in there and we start, shoveling that black goop and we realize, oh wait, logically, I can transmute this to light because I know better now. I have awareness and knowledge that can enlighten this darkness. And then the third one I pulled up was to make lucid or clear. Something that came in our awareness we'll talk more about was this concept of lucidity training. Training your mind and your nervous system and your body by slowly exposing it to the darkness so that your capacity to hold that and not have such a strong reaction grows. So those are just some definitions of illuminate. So that's what we're talking about today. Bringing visibility, enlightening with knowledge, making clear any of those things that are not love. very broad, right? And suddenly it's not so scary. It's like, oh, wait, we're just bringing awareness to these things. And it can be something as small as a little pattern and something as big as the core darkest truth of this planet. Moving into trying to talk about this last 4 weeks. And for me, I need to authentically kind of caveat and say, I am not the same woman that I was 4 weeks ago. I have died to myself more times in the last 4 weeks than I have in the last 4 years. It has been a profound activation, purge, and humility of some healing work that's been done. How does one like explain that at all, let alone in words, let alone on a podcast?
I think it's just about sharing the depth to which we've gone. And over the last several weeks, it started by experiencing the end of the journey and the heightened emotions that and sensitivity that came from that, the fatigue, the exhaustion. After literally, I was telling you, we've been moving for 13 months. Like normally you move out of your house into your new house or apartment or wherever you're going, and that's, you know, its own stressful experience, and you're like, okay, cool, we don't have to do that for several years again. We moved almost every day for the last 13 months, and that was a lot for our nervous system, a lot for our spirit. And towards the end of this journey, I was very fatigued physically and spiritually, giving so much from my cup and being limited in my capacity to replenish it at the rate that it was being given out of service, and connecting with other people and activating grids and doing the spiritual work. It was quite a bit. And so I was definitely operating at a higher state of reactivity and a lower base frequency than what I was normally at.
Yeah, it's, I loved your comment about moving every 13 months. I was like, oh, wow, that is true. It takes us right, yeah, back to our last solo episode 4 weeks ago today, which was Love Endures. You know, we were in Georgia and we shared in that episode, we were kind of going through it. We were nearing that month mark left on our trip. And, you know, just, I didn't think we had another breakdown in us, to be honest. And update on that, we did make it here safely and the noise has returned. And so we have a sneaking suspicion that something is wrong with our brand new rear differential again. You know, we were in a state of endurance. That's the perfect word. And I think that was when, with our frequencies being lower and our vibrations being lower, and, you know, we were really kind of in this mental state of like, we'll just deal with it when we get there. We'll just deal with it when we get there. So if something would come up, it was like, ah, my nervous system can't. We'll just deal with it when we get there. And that is not a healthy pattern. And we know better. And at that time, it was what was most supportive to our nervous systems. And so we started this kind of cue of, we'll just deal with it when we get there. And then we move into Florida, right? And we're like having the best 2 weeks, having all these beautiful experiences, seeing so many of our beautiful conscious friends, old and new. And it just was really, really cup filling and beautiful. And kind of that we were, you know, to back turn to the darkness, like, we're just gonna like save that. Well, that caught up to us because you can't do that for very long. We've tried, and you need great amounts of escapism, and we don't do that anymore. So for us, the capacity is very low. We didn't even make it 2 weeks. And it brought us to Gratitude Day. The day many people celebrate is Thanksgiving. We don't celebrate that holiday. But we did really go into that day consciously being in gratitude, which is something that's been a big part of our journey lately. We did an episode on gratitude. It's really potent. So I would definitely take a listen. And on that day, I kind of peeked at social media. It was actually right around when I left social media. I've actually been off for almost 3 weeks. And I realized how it was just like this big, massive flood of people talking about all the great things they were grateful for. And I don't know why that day, but I woke up that day and the darkness consumed me. I have shared, I think before on this show, after sitting with ayahuasca in January this year, I had a massive purge of energy that was stored in my left sciatic nerve. And it's been something I've been navigating all year. It flares up when something's asking to be moved. And I woke up on Gratitude Day with the most extreme nerve pain that I've had since sitting with ayahuasca. I was limping. It was really painful. And it was kind of this physical representation of, this is asking to be moved. This is asking to be loved. You cannot keep avoiding this. And I had a really profound healing session with a friend in Florida. And she was like, this is knocking, Amaris. This is knocking on your door. The new moon's a few days away. Like, I mean, you could put this off for another month, but I think that this is really asking for your attention. And of course, my initial response was, yeah, I'll deal with it on the next new moon. I've got one more in December. Well, that didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And so I started having a very, very deep somatic purge for several days of sexual trauma stored in my body, which moved us into landing home. And we get here last Thursday and immediately the next day have a 3-day, full day intensive grid work, light body activation training. And every day at the end of those 3 days, we had a ceremony where we went into very, very deep theta meditation, and each one was different. And so in those, basically the last 5 days leading up to recording this today on, what is it, December 11th, we've had 5 days of what I can only call quantum illumination of darkness.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Thank you for sharing your journey and what you experienced during those last several weeks. For me, it was more challenging earlier on. I had pretty much hit my capacity in when the differential went out.
I have a little bit of a bigger capacity usually.
Yeah. And navigating that experience, we drove from Georgia to Florida very slowly. And then, you know, on our second stop into Florida, actually had a blowout on our tire and had been operating with one flat tire that we were continuously pumping up because we were like, we're going to wait for Black Friday to get some tire deals. And yeah, it was just operating from that basis of, we're going to take care of it in a little bit. We're just going to take care of it in a little bit. It was small things, and those small things became bigger things. And it's interesting when you start operating from the consciousness of, I'm going to take care of it in a little bit, that consciousness starts seeping into every aspect of your being. Not just that thing that you put off in that moment, but it becomes, oh, I'm just not regulated right now. I'm not doing my spiritual practice. I'm going to take care of that in a little bit. Oh, I'm just not eating right. I'm not taking care of my body. I'm going to take care of that in a little bit. Oh, I'm operating on a flat tire. I'm going to take care of that in a little bit. And these things start building up. And that is where we reach states of overwhelm, because we have this backlog of all the things that we said we were going to take care of in a little bit. And that is what led to me really experiencing some breakdowns on a spiritual level, on a mental level, of not being able to hold the things that were coming up in my experience with love and with presence. And so I was much more reactive. And when you're operating from the spiritual ego, it can be easy to think that things are the way they are because of things outside of your perception. And I started projecting a lot onto my partner, all of the things that I was experiencing. In that experience, old patterns were coming up to be resurfaced, and I actually revisited an old pattern. It was interesting when we were talking about sharing this, the word relapse came up, and it's so interesting because my context around the word relapse is so different these days. There's this negative connotation around, oh, we relapse, and so that's a bad thing, and we have to be ashamed of it, and we have to basically reject it and not meet it with love. What if we can accept the relapse as a revisiting of old patterning from a conscious perspective? If you haven't listened to our episode, Loving the Unconscious Consciously, we go into detail about that, how that experience looks like and how it can be beneficial to you. In the context of what happened here, I experienced going back into my sexual addiction patterns and returning to old hypnotic programs that I had experienced in my sexual addiction and attempting to utilize them as escapism. And what I found, coming from a conscious perspective, is that when we revisit our old patterns enough from elevated states of consciousness, we find the emptiness, the truth about those patterns, in that they do not serve us. They do not offer the promises that they shine on the big neon billboards of happiness and pleasure. Because what our souls are looking for isn't happiness and pleasure. It's unconditional love. It's truth. Which those two things together, unconditional love and truth, is knowing the divine. It's knowing God.
Yeah, it's a really great time to bring that up because, you know, that is what this journey has been this last 4 weeks. It has been a profound and beautiful journey deeper into God, deeper into right relationship with God, deeper into love and truth. And the only way to do that is to have the capacity to do that. And the only way to have the capacity to hold more light and more love and a higher vibration and frequency is to clear out the darkness. And the only way to clear out the darkness is to face it head on. And this looks like many things, right? Like, this is very different for everyone, for every experience. You know, for me, it has been this past few weeks, especially this past 4 days, very, very emotional. Just profoundly overwhelming releases of crying and sometimes yelling and just very, very profound physical somatic releases of energy. I can honestly say it probably looked like an exorcism once or twice. Just so much energy being stored in my body for so long. You know, something I was telling you before we were recording was, we can sit there for multiple lifetimes and, like, maybe talk about our stuff one time, maybe deal with, like, one grief or one pattern. Maybe we go to therapy for a couple of years and we're like, okay, cool, that thing is no longer incessantly bothering me anymore. And live 2, 3, 4, 5 lifetimes, right? Hundreds of years of life, potentially, and do a little bit of work on ourselves, like a little bit of growth, a little bit of catalyst, but mostly live like a neutral, peaceful life. What has been happening the last 4 or 5 days feels like 50 lifetimes of work. I've done more emotional release and psychological and spiritual meeting of my darkness in this last few days than I have in years, and honestly in most of this life put together. And what I have found from that is it's not as bad as I think it is. It's excruciating for like 5 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour. And then suddenly the clouds have parted. And I'm reminded that at the bottom of that darkness, at the bottom of that black sludge, deep in there, it's just God. It's just love. It's all that's actually there. It's not darkness at all. It's just distorted energy asking to be loved, to be felt, released back to God. I have said that hundreds of times. God, I give this to you. I feel this. I allow it to move through me with non-attachment, non-resistance, and non-judgment, and I give it to you. I am going to observe this with love. I welcome you. I welcome you, energy, limiting beliefs, traumas, wounds, patterns, fear, anger, sadness, sexual abuse. I welcome you. You are safe here. You are loved. I'm not going to judge you. Ah, you shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be feeling this. This isn't right, this is wrong, this is that, right? That's the ego, all this, like, I shouldn't be this, right? I'm not gonna judge you. I'm not going to resist you. Oh, no, no, no. I don't want to feel this. Go away. I'm going to shove it down. I'm going to bury it. I'm going to escape. I'm going to drink. I'm going to this. I'm going to that. Video games, porn, you name it, whatever it is, drugs, alcohol. I'm going to not feel this. I'm going to resist it, which is just shoving it down, turning our back to it, right? And I'm not going to attach to it. I am aware of it. I am allowing it to pass through my body. I'm allowing myself to feel it. But I am not it. I am not clinging on to it and becoming it. Because what I've noticed is, through my life, I have done many of these and all of these at different times, but I'm kind of noticing this chronological, like we judge things, right? It's a mental thing first. Like, we shouldn't feel this abuse, or we shouldn't talk about this trauma. We shouldn't talk about this grief, this loss, miscarriage, whatever it is, right? We shouldn't talk about that. So we already have this judgment in our minds. Then that thing happens and the emotion and the energy is there and it's asking to be loved. It's asking to be felt and transmuted and healed and given to God. And we attach to it, right? Like, we become this suffering. And as that suffering builds and that energy builds, we then resist it, right? It becomes too great. I don't want to look at this. And they can go the other way. It can be resistance and then attachment, or attachment and then resistance. But you can see how these three work together, and we just create this tsunami of chaos. Like, when you were holding space for a session for me to journey really deep, and there was areas in several areas of my body. I have one on my shoulder, I have one on my leg, I have one on my back. And when I described it afterwards, I was like, it was like this swirling black hole of chaos. Like, there was so much, I couldn't even discern what was what. It was just this big black energy siphon of chaos. And that is what these become. They become physical and spiritual and energetic blockages in our physical body, in our consciousness, in our light body, your aura, your energy body. You can use whatever words work here for you. And it just sits there. And you can ignore it, and you can resist it when it comes up knocking on your door, like mine did on gratitude day, literally diving me into doing my first cold plunge because I was in so much nerve pain. You have to make a choice. I am very confidently offering here today that humanity is being asked collectively to make a choice right now. It is knocking. It has been ignored and judged and resisted for far too long. We need to look at this stuff. We need to look at the truth of corruption and poverty and addiction and mental health and child trafficking and what is really going on behind all of this chaos they put on the screens to distract and divide you. It's time for us to start sitting with that darkness. It is ready to be loved. And I'm here to tell you, after doing that for the last 5 days, what is waiting on the other side is ecstasy, is bliss, is pure heaven on earth. We can have that all of the time. We just have to get through this darkness. We just have to illuminate it. And as someone who experienced that ecstasy all day yesterday, it looked like going to the grocery store and filling our water jugs with RO water and putting my hand on the jug and going into deep communion and reverence with the water, praying for the water, thanking the water, and coming to full body as if I was on a heart activator, sobs, because I was so connected to God in that water, to the gratitude of having clean water, of having water at all. It was such a spiritual experience, getting water, something that I've done thousands of times in my life, and I've never had that. You know, that's one of many, many examples, but food, everything yesterday, connecting with my dog was just an act of communion with God.
Mm. When we say being in union with truth, with love, with God, this experience truly is bliss. And this was how we were meant to live on this planet, as our natural state. Humanity is collectively living in a state of separation and suffering, thinking that that is our natural state, and that achieving states of bliss are actually something that are temporary, that aren't our natural state, that we have to go to, when it's actually We are returning to that state when we experience bliss. And so our work is the exact inversion of what we've all been told we need to do, which is find happiness. No, it's actually to illuminate all the things that are causing the belief of suffering and then return to bliss. Like if we're driving in a car and our windshield is dirty and we want to see clearly again, we have to clean the windshield. And that is what we are called to do on this planet. That is why we illuminate the darkness with love. And we reclaim those parts of ourselves. When I went through this experience of going through revisiting an old pattern and how that affected my being, our partnership, the family unit, what I saw was I had re-entered on a very subtle and different level the consciousness of shame. Because being spiritual and having walked this path, going and revisiting old patterns in the past, I was like, oh yes, you know, this is about forgiveness. It's forgiving myself. It's accepting the forgiveness that's already given to us by the divine. And the one thing that was always catching me up until this time of revisiting the pattern was, it's allowing it to be what it is so fully and completely that you're not afraid to talk about it, that you're not afraid to share it with the people around you that you love. And this gave me the opportunity to heal that pattern on an even deeper level, because in every aspect of our past patterning where I've quote-unquote relapsed, it's always been my partner's intuition or God's divine intervention that has brought forward the disclosure. And this time, it was actually in a place of deep love and wanting to connect with my partner, being in a very vulnerable container, and recognizing within myself, I can't enter this container right now. Why can't I enter this container? Oh, it's because I'm holding something back from my partner. I want to be closer to my partner. And so, in order to enter that state of vulnerability, the desire to hold on and feel safe of holding something back was no longer stronger than the desire to be in divine union with my partner. And so it became instantaneous and easy to say, this is what I'm experiencing. This is what I just went through. I want to share my heart with you.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I think last night, these last two nights really, and it's been, I want to clarify, like, I'm going to say the most intimate two nights of our life, and there's been, like, almost no physical connection at all. You know, intimacy, we're still learning. 8.5, almost years now, we're still learning. Like, intimacy's hard. I heard a description once, I don't remember where, that was, like, intimacy is, like, letting someone see your soul, letting someone see your truth, which includes your darkness. And that's what the last few days have been, is not only meeting that darkness in ourselves, but being intimate and vulnerable to let the other person see it. And I'm so proud of you for doing that work, because I know how challenging that is for you. It is one of your gene keys. And yeah, I really see the effort there, you know. And for me, it's been really tough as well. I think going into those really deep wounded parts of myself, you know, all that yucky gunk, that just the things you've never said to anyone else before, you know, and having a space where I can say that to you. If you don't have a partner or you don't have someone you can say that to, you have an eternal partner that loves you unconditionally and will take that and hold that and has given it grace and forgiveness long before you've ever even thought about doing it. Invitation in your relationships to be more vulnerable. It's really easy to talk about the patterns in the relationship, right? Like, this to me is the marker of a true conscious partnership, is most relationships, they have no problem talking about their problems, right? Can you be deeply vulnerable and talk about your darkness, your patterns, your traumas? Because being able to be vulnerable and share your darkness with another person, that unlocks profoundly new levels of healing. And if you're not there yet, or you don't have that opportunity yet, start with God. Start with the divine, because getting in right relationship there is the most important thing. And you know, this is something that we've always known and has been a huge part of our journey, and we haven't talked about as much on this show. And one thing from this training, that it was an Earth Star Academy training, shout out Z, we will be having her on the show. If you look up Earth Star Academy, you'll find it. It's a training and an academy that she created for light workers, for star seeds, for healers, for anyone on this type of path to learn how to heal this stuff. And she talked a lot about this concept of getting in right relationship with God. And it makes me think a lot about where humanity is right now, and that we are projecting everything onto anything but ourselves, right? They're the problem. They're toxic. They're a narcissist. This person's bad. This is bad. This is bad. They should go to jail. That political party is wrong. Like, everything else is wrong but us. And if you're a conscious person on some type of healing journey, whatever your mind just came up with of something it thinks it can fill in, like, for example, I think the beautiful example, and there's a reason I use this one constantly, is because it's a serious problem, and it's one of the biggest things we were looking at in the darkness this weekend, is child trafficking, right? And saying on that level, right, well, yes, I can take responsibility for this and this and this and this, but I can't take responsibility for that, for example. And that's not to say you're responsible for it. It's the call to heal the capacity and the experience of that darkness within yourself. That is what we were doing this last weekend. And when you can start to look at wherever you are in your journey, whatever the next deepest level is for you, whatever the calling is for you, if you can look at it from that perspective of, I am healing the capacity for that darkness, the way that darkness has affected me. Because even if you've never been trafficked or you've never had sexual abuse, you have. Because someone in your family line has, and that lives in your body, that lives in your DNA. Maybe you have in another lifetime. This is what we talk about when we talk about ancestral trauma and how did humanity get to this place? Loaded question, lots of answers. One of them is, this is existing in our bodies. And I'm bringing it to this physical level because that is something I think everyone can understand. We can take it up and we can take it to the spiritual of, it's existing in our consciousness. And we are all one. We are all connected, right? There's this neural network of mycelium consciousness that is connecting everyone on this planet, which includes the millions of children being trafficked right now. And so you are experiencing it because you can feel them. You can feel their energy. We are all connected. What we're talking about when we say illuminating and healing these things within yourself is, can you look at anything in this world and instead of saying, well, it's that person's problem and the solution is to lock them up or unalive them and then we will just not have that problem anymore, right? The problem will always exist until we heal it in our consciousness. We don't have a blank problem. We have a consciousness problem. And so this work and what is being asked, especially of those with more awareness right now, is to start acknowledging, loving, transmuting this stuff in our own experience.
That is very beautifully said. If you are still with us right now, I commend you, because this work is challenging. It really is, because it's asking you to entertain in your consciousness some of the darkest experiences in the human experience. We're talking about a really holistic journey here that Amaris and I have kind of quantum leaped through, typical us fashion, in the intensity that we live at, of recognizing that this starts with our individual physical bodies. That's where this journey started. This is our temple. This is our vehicle, our avatar for our consciousness, our soul, whatever label you want to use for God to actually manifest in the 3D reality. We are all part of God and a fragment of the divine consciousness, an access point rather than a fragment, is present within each one of us. If we can all agree on that, then the natural state is to want to allow more of the true divine frequency and consciousness into this plane. And in order to do that, we need to upgrade our vehicles and throw on some snow tires, clear out the all the old stuff, and treat our body like a temple. That means our food. That means our water. That means any medications that are not actually serving us. That means intoxicants, poisons, all of these things in our experience. That's where we started. Once we did that clearing work, dumping all the toxins, doing the fastings, all of the stuff, the progression was to become more conscious from a spiritual space, conscious of our egos and our minds, conscious of our patterning. And so that's what started asking to be healed. And after going through that process of doing the ego work and doing the healing, it then expanded to even deeper traumas that were physically stored in the body. Psychic attacks. For me, deep hypnotic programs into my subconscious. Entity attachments. And then from there, when we can meet that level of darkness in our experience, we start experiencing the darkness of the collective from a consciousness that we couldn't earlier, because so much of our bandwidth was focused on the internal things that were coming up.
You're touching on something so important that I'm so glad we're getting to and we can drive home in this episode. What I was getting to earlier, and you kind of brought it full circle around, was we project everything out so that we don't have to look in. If there's anything that you take from this episode, the only way to fix anything in this world is by fixing you first. You can go out and feed as many people as you want. You can work in the mental health field and help as many people as you want. I did. You can go out and rescue as many children as you want. Until we fix the consciousness problem, those problems will continue to exist. I'm not saying don't care about them. I'm not saying we should also be doing that. I'm saying the mind projects that that is the solution, is to look out and fix some perceived problem rather than looking within. Because a society of healed, conscious people that are resonating at love, that are resonating at truth, that are walking in the divine knowing that their body is a temple and that they are consciousness and pure divine spark expressing itself, don't do those things. So please, wherever you are in your journey, we are calling you into deeper levels. If you are listening to this show, you are a warrior. I know it. And if you've been listening from the beginning or you've been listening for a while, thank you. Because this right here is our moment. If you have any type of awareness of any type of anything, of consciousness, spirituality, what's going on in the world, wherever your level of awareness is, you have some. 99% of the planet does not. So I am calling you forward alongside of us with the utmost love to start priming your nervous system and meeting this darkness, transmuting it. Let it pass through you. Don't judge it, don't resist it, and don't attach to it. Let it move, give it to the earth, give it to God. That's all you have to do. You are not that darkness. You are not going to become that darkness. And it really is so terrifying and so painful, for like 5 seconds, 5 minutes, maybe an hour or two, and then it's gone and it's transmuted and you will feel better than you ever have. And until we all collectively start doing that, those problems are going to continue to exist. And for me, that embodiment of we are the temple and getting in right relationship with God and our bodies is the first step. Then, and only then, will you be activated. Will you have clarity on what your soul mission is and what you're here to do. And then and only then, when you have done that work and you've cleared the channels and you are in right relationship and alignment with the divine and your highest self, then you will cure those problems. You will fix those problems because you are coming at them with the full power of the light behind you. You are aligned and you can meet them at their most polarized, darkest point with love. It won't affect you. You won't be horrified. You know, there are some people who you show them these dark things and they would end their lives because they can't possibly hold it. You will be able to hold these things. You will be able to sit with people and give them love in those experiences. You will change the world.
Mm-hmm. And if you're listening and you're still like, yeah, Amorous and Eric, I get it. It's not the outside stuff. It's the inside stuff. But it's also the outside stuff. And we really have to go, and we really have to go do that thing, and I really have to go spending all of my time trying to fix the outside world to make it look like how I think a perfect world would look like, where everyone's fed, and everybody's rights are upheld, and there's no wars, and there's no poison in our food, and all these things, and I have to go and conform everybody to the will of God, right? Because it sounds so appealing. It puts you in that hero archetype of, I can go make a difference in the world. It's the biggest trap of the ego because it hijacks the good inside of us. Our natural state of being of service to want to make a difference in this world. The truth is, until we have met the depths of the darkness within ourselves, we do not stand a chance of making a difference in the external world because we will play out the patterns in ourselves that we have not healed. We are susceptible to programming. We are susceptible to our animalistic nature and our programs and our fight or flight response. When we deeply heal ourselves and be able to sit with my own self-imposed ritualistic sexual abuse, I can now sit with other people who've experienced the same thing without being shocked. And not only that, being able to actually have conscious responses to these experiences. How did I heal it within myself? That's how we heal it in the world.
Mm. Breath after that one. Mm. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. I was thinking while you were talking about an example here. I'm the analogy queen today, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, you know, when like you're grieving, right? We've all grieved something. This doesn't have to be death. You know, it can be loss of a job, a loss of an item. It can be anything, right? You're grieving. And you go to someone and you're grieving and they just say like the worst thing possible, right? And this person's like healthy and happy and well-intentioned and, you know, they don't have to be a grieving person or a bad person or an escaping person. They just don't know how to hold that space for you. And this goes back to that we can only hold the space for others that we can hold for ourselves. As we meet this darkness with love and illuminate it, you know, like you said, it starts with even just being aware that we have an ego, becoming conscious. I think most people listening to the show are. Then we can get down into our own stuff. And then it turns into this other phase. And I think this is where a lot of the spiritual space and a lot of us light warriors are about to be called to. We've been called. I was called 2 weeks ago on Gratitude Day. this call knocked on my door. Literally, physically, my friend nailed it perfectly. This is knocking on your door. And I knew, and I literally said in a post that I had made on Gratitude Day, encouraging people to be grateful for the darkness, I said, I feel this finally asking to really be met. I'd met it in ayahuasca. I'd met it several times since, you know, I'd had lots of releases, but like fully. And it was knocking. And this is knocking on our door, friends. We are one big family. And I'm here to tell you, fam, it's knocking on our door. These things are coming out. The exposure is coming. These things are going to come to light in 2025. We have just weeks left in this year, and we need to look at them. And so looking at them now and having the tools and the awareness and the ability now to be in right relationship with ourselves, our body, and God, and to be coming from a conscious, embodied place of love is of the utmost importance. Yes, your job is important. Yes, these other things are important. 10K months, 10K days, making this money, manifesting a car, that shit's not important. And so I invite you to really get honest with yourself. What is important right now? What needs your attention? Because I guarantee you, if you're saying the words, I need, it's probably not right. Because the only thing we need to do is heal ourselves and get in right relationship with God. Because our planet needs us, our brothers and sisters need us, the children need us, and we cannot carry on as a species any longer. The cauldron is full and bubbling. It is about to explode. Can you be removed enough that you don't get burned when that explosion happens?
Mm. And to add to that, not even just not be burned, but to be the firefighter that runs into the fire to help those of our brothers and sisters who don't have the capacity yet, the lucidity, the consciousness, the awareness to manage and understand what is happening around them. Can we be the waymakers on this planet to create what we've all been talking about, right? We don't just say, oh, it's a love and light world and it's gonna attract to us with manifestation. I don't care how many affirmations you say in the mirror in the morning saying it's going to be a peaceful world, until you find peace within yourself, it will not be a peaceful world. Because everything that is happening on this planet, all of it, is a reflection of consciousness within ourselves. And when we heal those patterns within ourself, whether it's addiction, whether it's verbal abuse, whether it's depression, whether it's anxiety, all of these mind viruses that are going out in the collective, when we heal it, we are actually solving a problem for humanity. Boom, you solve the problem, and now you can go take it out into humanity. We cannot solve problems outside of us. We need to do the inner work so that we can understand the equation and then translate and take that equation into the variables of the outside world. And when we do that, we can make a change.
It reminds me of the common saying, you can't solve a problem from the frame of consciousness that created it. And I realized the humility this last few weeks came from realizing that I was coasting. I was, you know, doing the work when something came up, or, you know, addressing a pattern as it kind of felt urgent. I wasn't really deep down going into this work for myself, let alone the collective. You know, I had gotten comfortable, I guess. And, you know, this work isn't for everyone, and that's okay. We all have different capacities. We all have different callings. We all have different missions that we're here to do on this planet. I'm a light warrior. I'm a starseed, and I'm here to do this work at the darkest depths possible. I'm talking about a quantum meditation into the heart of the center of the earth to find these infected spots of pedophilic consciousness and remove them by allowing them to be seen and loved and transmuted through my body and released type of work. And that's not for everyone, and that's okay. We're not sitting here encouraging you to do that if that's not something you can do. What I learned from this class more than anything is we are all here to do the work. Maybe not that work, and maybe not at that intensity, but we are here to do the work. And so you really only have two choices. Live a life like humanity's been living for thousands of years, doing the bare minimum, escaping, and sitting there wherever you are right now, being okay that millions of children are being trafficked, or do the work at whatever level you can, because we all need to do the work and we all have a part to play in this. And so thank you for whatever part you're playing in this work. Thank you for listening to this. I know this was not easy and it's uncomfortable. It's dark. And by going into it, it's how we bring the light. And for us, love is always the answer. It's still the answer. And that utmost unconditional love, the light, the support, an army that you will need to face the darkness, whatever darkness it is, addiction, depression, child trafficking, whatever thing it is, to meet it at its deepest depth, you will need that unconditional love of God on your side. Lean on the divine. Lean on your guides and all of these things in the world that are here supporting us, because going in with them by your side, it kind of actually is easy. Like, it's not easy, but it becomes easy because I know I have the light of God in my awareness. And so this thing cannot impact me unless I allow it to. This thing cannot become me. It cannot leech into my aura. Suddenly, you're just on a spiritual mission with the light of God by your side, facing some darkness, and then 2 hours later, you're having dinner like nothing even happened. So thank you for listening and for being a part of this work in whatever capacity you are.
Yes. Thank you for activating your inner superhero. Thank you for answering the call and doing the work, whatever that looks like, wherever you're at in your life. And here's the thing. It doesn't have to be experiencing all of these catalysts to do the healing work. That's the biggest trap that we can fall into, and humanity has fallen into, is that we get comfortable. We enjoy the feeling of safety more than doing the healing work. And so we actually bring in more catalytic events to encourage us to do deeper healing work. We can do the same process of healing work in a romantic breakup as healing an addiction. It is the same process of what we have talked about in this episode, bringing conscious awareness to whatever is affecting you in your life, and then loving it with the love of God, which is unconditional love and grace. So how do we do this? You train your nervous system to be able to look at the pattern you're facing over and over and over again until it has been fully healed and integrated. That is likely not a one and done thing. Allow the pattern to show up in your experience. Allow yourself to feel the emotions to their fullest extent. Feel that resonate in your body and love it. Find the gratitude. Find the grace. Forgive yourself. Forgive whatever needs to be forgiven in that moment. And move forward. As we do that in our experience, we learn to hold bigger and bigger things in our nervous system. If you can overcome the grief of a breakup, you can overcome the grief of a family member passing away. If you can overcome the grief of a family member passing away, you can overcome the grief of war consciousness on this planet. Do you see how we can move from smaller experiences into being able to hold larger containers?
It's a really great analogy. Something you touched on so profound to close us out here is it's a perfect universe. And that makes a lot of people uncomfortable because they haven't done the work to understand what that means. Doesn't mean child trafficking is perfect. Doesn't mean war is perfect, poverty, addiction, any of these things are perfect. It means it's a perfect universe in that it will bring you exactly what you need to grow. You get to choose that. You just don't know it. You've been playing a game that you don't know the rules to. That was the biggest awakening for me a few years ago was, holy shit, that's what the Matrix is. I'm playing the game of life and I don't know the rules. I don't know that if I don't consciously choose not in a moment of suffering and catalyst, but in a moment of awareness and joy to go in and do the work, life will keep bringing me catalysts for that work to be done. Sit with that for a second. It's really, really profound. And even if you've heard it before, let it sink deeper. It's a perfect universe. If we do the work, life will quit bringing us the catalyst of war consciousness and child trafficking and corruption because we no longer need to learn those lessons. And we don't all have to learn them. Just enough of us to have a great enough impact on the consciousness. And the light is far more powerful than the darkness. It is polarizing. It is illuminating. God's love and God's light can cut through more than you could ever imagine. And so we only need a few of us, really, to make a difference in your city, in your community, in your family line. So be that light, friends. Be that love. Thank you for making it into this place with us. We get to get into some good stuff now. Couple of really, really big, exciting announcements. Okay, we're not going to make you wait any longer. If you just sat through that hour of really intense, profound conversation, you've been waiting for this. Because I think only maybe a few dozen people at this point know, our closest friends and a few family members. We are home. We are home. We are home. Where is it? What did we do? We saw this entire country, and I don't mean just like, oh, we drove through the state. No, we saw the whole thing. All the top 20 major cities, all the national parks, every state, the entire West and East and Gulf Coast, Canada times three. And we're going to do an episode on this more in a second. Where are we? For the last time, my love, where are we?
Man, even I'm jittering in my seat with the anticipation. Sheesh. We are in Austin, Texas, coming to you live from what I call the City of Light. There's a lot of really great community here. There's a lot of really great consciousness and free thinkers and people experimenting in the spiritual space from a place of deep, deep growth. While we've seen so many beautiful parts of this country with amazing landscapes, and it's the people that brought us back here.
You know, this was the only city outside of Portland and Asheville. Portland because we were leaving our home and everything we knew, and Asheville because of what was going on. Austin was the only city I cried leaving. I really didn't want to leave. And, you know, I think the first question is like, so are you buying land? Are you buying a house? This is it? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think this is it. I think this is it right now. We have committed to 3 to 6 months. We got a P.O. box. We have a monthly stay for our trailer at a beautiful RV resort where we're on an end spot overlooking a lake. It doesn't get any better than this. And we are just going to ground. We are grounding. We've been here for a week. The first 4 days, we didn't leave. We didn't drive at all. We literally didn't leave our house. We were just deep in quantum illumination of darkness work. And, you know, we've just barely started poking our head out. But one thing I will share is on Monday, I went to get our P.O. box. And that was weird. I mean, that felt really solid, y'all. Like, it felt a little strange, not gonna lie, when they handed me that key and I paid for 6 months. And I was like, whoa, this is official. But yesterday I drove into town for the first time. We've been here at this point 5 or 6 days. And I was going to the grocery store because we had no food. We could not leave our house anymore. We literally weren't leaving our house. We were so in the integration and the grounding and the spiritual mission we were on. And I went to the grocery store and I had this palpable moment of getting off the freeway. I'm in like Austin proper. I've driven this drive before because this is the same RV park we stayed at last time we were here when we booked a monthly in Austin, only the second place we ever did that at. And I had this palpable moment of just like a full body, physical, spiritual, energetic, like, and it was the moment that my nervous system and my body realized and integrated and settled into, I'm here and this was the right choice. Before we move on to our next announcement, which is equally as huge about this show, it was about a month before the month mark. So 2 months ago, we were like, all right, God, where are we going? Because to be clear, we still have very large intentions and dreams to buy land. What we realized in this journey is it'll be multiple places, not one. NorCal is still our number one spot. The Pacific Northwest and the forest and the redwoods are still calling to our souls. However, we understand that we are doing our best to live in divine alignment and to be in the surrender experiment and trust God's plan, because we can't see it all. We can only see what's out of our little tiny glasses here. I'm holding little goggles up to my eyes, and God can see all of it 360 quantum across all dimensions. So I trust that guidance. And we asked God, we asked the universe, all right, where are we going? And when I tell you that in the matter of 2 weeks, we received dozens of Austin and Texas signs. We would go to a restaurant, have this profound conversation with this man in Philly. Shout out to Nourish. That restaurant is exquisite. And we're like getting so deep and then realize we haven't exchanged names. What's your name? Austin. We book a stay and it's on Austin Street. Every single place we parked across a dozen states, the plates next to us, Texas. It was nonstop. I would call to book something. Hi, this is Austin speaking. The name of the new crypto campaign on the crypto app I use was called Race Back to Austin. I mean, it literally, God has never been clearer in my life. And every mile we drove towards Texas after finishing our last state of Oklahoma, I knew it. And the second we crossed into state lines, something shifted. And I feel like I've driven into a portal and a light. And so whether God calls us to stay here until the winter's over in 3 months, whether we finish out our six or we end up here longer, we don't know. We're surrendered. We're happy to be here. And yes, for me personally, I can confidently say there is much light in this country. There are some places that really need some. Austin felt like the biggest light. And so it's no surprise to me that after 13 months of thousands of experiences of meeting people and events and charging and activating grids and all of these things, that God brought us here to rest. And the final sign, driving into Buda, which a friend so lovingly pointed out to me, we're living in the town that looks like Buda, which is fabulous. It's the southernmost suburb of Austin, and it's beautiful, is their tagline. I got the final sign, and it was there. You know how the highways, they put up signs like click it or ticket or slow down, this and that. This one said, slow down, you're already in Texas. And it was the clearest final sign of our journey, just a few exits before getting off for our RV park. Slow down, children. You did the thing. You finished the journey. You met the people. You experienced it. You activated all of the grid with your special light. You're already in Texas. You can rest. You can recharge. You can be at peace now. And that is a huge projection of our mind, because we could have always had that. However, we have it now. And wouldn't you know it, in just 24 hours of being in that peace, we were able to go into this darkness. So we are home in Austin, and we're just going to take it day by day, because we don't know what it looks like beyond the next few weeks. So more to come on this journey. This podcast is going to be changing and transmuting and growing with us. Moves me into our second announcement. To add on to this, we're going to be starting video soon, figuring out, now that we're not moving and we have internet and I have a new computer and all these things, how can we start bringing video to our solo episodes, not just our guests? If you're listening to us, we have been posting video with our guest interviews for some time now. Those are on YouTube. You can follow us there. And we're going to start doing solo video. You know, it's time. It's time to let you see our faces and to bring that into the show. We also have our first sponsor. It is so exciting. I'm looking at the product across the room right now. We're not quite announcing it yet. We actually have our meeting with them on Friday, so in a few days, to finalize what that looks like and bring that to the show. And it's a very aligned partner. It's something that we are personally using and is going to be of great value to you all listening. So exciting stuff. Video coming soon of us, sponsor. We're in Austin. No more craziness. We have such a beautiful rest of the year planned. There are only 3 episodes left in 2024 for this show, and we already have all 3. So we are having a guest on next week. He is the owner and founder of Organic Muscle. He is a friend and brother of ours. He also happens to be here in Austin, and we are talking about organic health and love. Then after that, we have our 2nd episode in the Loving Conversation series. If you thought we forgot about that, we didn't. It has been tough finding aligned people for this series, so we're doing it quarterly currently. So last quarter, you can listen to Ryan and Rachel's. This quarter, we have something you have probably never consumed in content. Twins in a conscious twinship, sistership, friendship, business partners. How are they navigating that? What does that look like? And it's also a strong focus on Reiki, because that is what they do. They are the Reiki twins. So we are bringing the 2nd episode in that series. And then our last episode of the year, we're going to do something really cool where we are going to go through our entire 13-month journey, where we went, what we saw, what we learned, and most importantly, how we went out on this journey looking for answers, looking for this, looking for that. Where are we going to find land? What is our mission? And spoiler alert, we just found God. We just found more love, more healing, more consciousness, more of ourselves, more of each other, and more of the beauty and truth that is this world when we illuminate the darkness. And that is what I'm most excited for in 2025. That is what I'm most excited for in this community, in our lives, in our mission, and in this show, Loving Consciously, is illuminating the darkness with love. And we do that through the divine, through God, through being in right relationship with our bodies. So thank you for being a light warrior. Thank you for being a love warrior. Thank you in your way, the best that you can, for illuminating your own slice of darkness, because it's one less slice for everyone else to have to go play out. So we love you so much. We've missed you being away. We are back. We are settled, and we are so ready to bring more love and more light into this world through this show alongside you all.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for doing the work. Thank you for being a part of this story and this movement to heal the consciousness of this planet. We do not monetize this show. We don't do any advertising. We do it because this is our act of service. The most helpful thing that you can do to help spread this message out is to share it with somebody that you think it will resonate for. Because together, we can heal the planet. And I trust all of you to do the work. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.